Over the course of about 6 weeks, we had a men's training program in which we strove to encourage ourselves to develop in those areas that we were not yet doing and to enhance our ability to do things in areas that we might not yet be working in. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about leadership this evening. God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 34, "Now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you." Remember Gideon over in Judges when he started out with 22,000 men and God said, "Too many." Cut it down to 10,000 and God said, "Too many." Because if we go in with those numbers, you'll believe that you had the victory. And so Gideon took his men down to the river, and depending on how they drank the water, 300 were selected. And he told them in Judges 7 and verse 17, "Watch me," he told them, "follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do." Do you see the leadership being developed in these various passages that we've looked at thus far? Israel said, "Give us a king to lead us," in 1 Samuel 8 and 6. They wanted a leader that they could see, and they turned away from their true king, their true leader. And God said, "Your guides lead you astray. They turn you from the path," Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12. Some of the leaders can be good, but we can also have bad leadership. Jesus tells us in Luke 6 and verse 39, "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit?" And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, he said, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. Whosoever wants to be great," he said in Mark chapter 10, verses 43, 44, and 45, "whosoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whosoever wants to be first must be slave of all." In our men's training class, as I said, we tried to have as our central theme Titus 3 and verse 1, "Be ready for every good work." And we said as we went through this, we were really trying to develop worship leaders, individuals that would be willing to take part in the worship service or elsewhere. Everyone has been given a talent. Most of us have been given several talents, several abilities. And that's all we were thinking about, is to take those talents that God has given us and enhance them so that our worship service and the work that we do here in the Lord's service would be enhanced. We wanted to develop ourselves into a greater usefulness for the Lord. To be prepared to be a servant in the work, worship, or whatever needs to be done in this congregation as we all strive to serve the Lord. Greater usefulness, the willingness to be a servant, to serve in whatever capacity we can, building upon those talents that we each have. And to help us to do that which we're now doing, to do it better. We can improve. We can get better at what we're doing. And then to think about that unexpected need that may arise something that we don't normally find ourselves doing, but preparing ourselves for those circumstances through unexpected situations require us to do things that we might not normally do. So, back to Titus 1 in verse 3. To be ready for every good work. Well, how can I be a leader? A lot of famous people have said things about leadership. Here's the Prime Minister of India, Prime Minister Gandhi. There are two kinds of people, those who do the work and those who take the credit. Better off being one that does the work because you're going to have less competition. General Schwarzenegger said leadership is a combination of strategy and character, and if you must be without one, be without strategy. Maintain that character. Henry Ford, way, 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 way back at the turn of the last century, said something along the lines, I'm looking for a lot of men who have an infinite capacity to not know what cannot be done. That's a double negative. And basically what he's saying, I want people that will say to me, it can be done. And George Patton, in one of his famous sayings, said, be willing to make decisions. That's the most important quality in a good leader. Don't fall into ready, aim syndrome. Somewhere along the line, you've got to make a decision to fire. And Rabbi Simpson said, the Heavenly Father recognized the great value of a leader, not particularly in the man who can do the work of 10, but the man who can get 10 men to work and to do what needs to be done. Well, that's what some famous men have said. What does the Bible say about leadership? Is there something that we can learn from Scripture that might help us as we think about leadership? And let's go all the way back to the Tower of Babel. Do you remember the Tower of Babel? The people had come together and they had learned to speak a common language. And as a result, they were building this tower that they were going to extend to heaven. And the Lord scattered them with different languages. And what I think that teaches us from the standpoint of leadership is that if we speak the same language, and I'm not talking about English or German or Japanese or Russian, I'm talking about the language of the Bible. If we speak the language of the Bible, there's really nothing that we cannot accomplish. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 6 says, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible. And isn't that true if we speak His language? What can we learn from Father Abraham? I think we can learn to trust God. If there was ever an individual that trusted God, he did. Did he not? God said, pack up and go to this land that you know nothing about. Abraham did. But the most impressive trust that he had in God, when God said, I want you to sacrifice your son. And I don't know about you, but I have two sons, and I would have a very hard time of giving them the kindle and me taking a knife and heading out into the woods to sacrifice. And yet, Abraham did. He trusted God, and God supplied the sacrifice. Even when it defies all logic, and here's a case where I'd say to you, that defies all logic. Everything you think to be true and all your experience and the wealth of advice of people around you simply says, this is not what should be done. A good leader will trust God. He's far above our comprehension. Abraham and Lot can tell us something about leadership, I would suggest to you. Be willing to put others first. Is that not what Abraham did when he said, Lot? Or Lot came to him and said, we're just overgrazing the land and we're going to have to separate. And Abraham said, Lot, you choose. And Lot chose the best. Abraham was willing to put others first. And a good leader needs to put others first. Well, what about Abraham, Lot, and Sodom? What leadership characteristics could we possibly find in this particular story? Well, let me suggest to you that we need to fight for those that we love. And isn't that exactly what Abraham did on behalf of his nephew Lot? In Genesis 14, Abraham fought to rescue Lot. And then in Genesis 18, he boldly bargained with God to save Lot. God wanted how many to begin with? 100? And Abraham was able to bargain him down to a much lower number. Abraham was willing to take great risk for his family. Think about that. He trusted God, but he was willing to bargain with God for his family. And then there's Abraham and Sarah and Ishmael. Do you remember who Ishmael is? The son of Hagar. And sometimes it seemed like he was Abraham's favorite. So what can that story possibly tell us? We're going to have to sometimes make hard choices. We may love one, but we should have a greater love, and that's the love that we have for God. It was hard to send Ishmael away, but he did it for Sarah, for his chosen son, Isaac. But he did it mainly because God told him to do it. So sometimes, as leaders, we have to make hard choices. Sometimes we must choose between different loves. Loves that allow us to make those difficult decisions that God would want us to make. What about the young kid Joseph? His brothers threw him away. He ended up in Egypt. What can we learn from his life as far as leadership is concerned? Do your best, even in bad circumstances. Now think about that. He was the very best slave, was he not? And a great prisoner. Now you tell me that either one of those circumstances were good circumstances. They were bad circumstances, and yet Joseph made the very best of them. It's hard to be great when you hate where you are. I think it's the one thing among many things that I can say about my good wife, that when I packed up and moved, she said, I'll go with you. And I always told her, buy a tombstone, this is where we're going to end up. Didn't always happen. But wherever it is, whatever your circumstances are, even if they're bad circumstances. And for those of you that have just moved here from Birmingham, this is a great place to be. You don't have to think that it's going to be bad. These circumstances are going to be wonderful up here. 20 years ago, we moved up from North Carolina and left a lot of folks, but we've dearly grown to love this group, and you will too. But it's hard to be great when you hate where you are. But by working through those times, Joseph was able to rise out of prison, out of being a slave, to the position for which God, over all these years, had been preparing him. What can we learn from Moses? He was a great leader. He was the leader that brought them out of Egypt to the land of Canaan, to the promised land. And you know, the one thing that I think that we can learn from Moses is be humble. Be humble. Think about that for a moment. Let your actions speak louder than words. Exodus 14. Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You will need only to be still or to be humble. I think Moses is a great example of humility. And a good leader needs to be humble. Probably the best advice that Scriptures can give us is to have God on our side. No one ever succeeded against God, and no one whom God supported has ever failed. Proverbs 21 and 30. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against God. Listen to that again. There's no wisdom, there's no insight, there's no plan that can succeed against God. If God is on our side, we can succeed. And know where you're going, and don't give up. Even when those you are leading rally against you. Did that happen to Moses? Certainly did. And was Moses really leading the people? I would suggest to you, in a sense, but it was really God that was leading the people. And they fought him all the way to Canaan and begged to go back into slavery in Egypt. Some folks are really stubborn, and you're not going to convince everybody. And they may not appreciate your leadership ability until you're long gone, 6 feet under, or moved away, or whatever. What about the Israelites in Numbers chapter 13 and 14? Numbers chapter 13 and 14. What do we learn from them? I think we learn, believe you can in spite of apparent limitations. Remember, this is when they got to Canaan and they sent the 12 spies into the land. And 10 came back and said, no way. There's absolutely no way. They're giants. But two said, yes, we can. So believe you can in spite of apparent limitations. They were scared of the Canaanites and they thought they could not take the promised land, and as a result they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. They failed and suffered because of their timidity. There's a difference between timidity and humility. And we want to have humility, but not necessarily timidity. What about King Solomon? What can he teach us about leadership? Let me suggest to you that as he asked for wisdom, we should also ask for wisdom. He had the largest kingdom of any of the kings of Israel because he sought wisdom instead of wealth or the death of his rivals or enemies. And then we come to the master teacher, the master leader of all, our Lord and Savior Jesus. And there are a lot of things that he can teach us, and I've just selected a couple. Bear with weakness and ignorance. As a leader, we need to bear with weakness and ignorance. Think about it for a moment. For 3 years, he struggled with 12 guys. All throughout the Gospels, He tries to teach them. In fact, one of them betrays him. And it's only after his resurrection that they really begin to understand. He spent those years working with weak men who didn't understand his goals. But in the end, what did they do? They turned the world upside down. We can't, but he could work miracles. And yet people didn't believe. So, we have a disadvantage. But even if we could work miracles, there are going to be some that are going to be so stubborn that they're not going to believe. Did everybody believe Jesus when they saw his miracles? No. There were numbers that did not, even though they saw all of the things that he could do in working those miracles. But what about our good friend, the Apostle Paul? What can he teach us about leadership? I see you're worried about that rock falling on him. Think about that for a moment. He had a lot of obstacles in his way, didn't he? Use obstacles to clarify your direction. Where did Paul want to go? So desperately, where did he want to go? He wanted to go to northern modern Turkey to preach the gospel up in Bithynia and up around the Black Sea. But he couldn't, because God wanted him in Macedonia. And he kept trying to go other places, but was blocked because God wanted him over in Europe, in Macedonia. Some folks will not follow, no matter how bad the consequences are. Even if people understand that there's a heaven and there's a hell, and that if you do not abide by God's commandments, you're not going to go where He would like for you to go. But don't let even those kinds of people stop or discourage you. Well, how can I be a leader as we look back over those things that we've talked about? To speak the same language, the language of Scripture. Most importantly, to trust God. To be willing to put others first. And to fight for that which is right. For those that you love. For the members of this congregation, for your family, for other Christians, as long as it's within the bounds of Scripture. Sometimes a leader has to make hard choices. Choices that you might not want to make, but they have to be made. We need to do our best, even in bad circumstances. And in all of this, we need to be humble. And to keep God on our side. And know where we want to go. And once we've resolved that that's what God wants us to do, not to give up on it. And believe that you can, even in spite of apparent limitations. Pray diligently, often, for wisdom to guide you as you lead. And bear with weakness and ignorance. We need to remember that people that are in leadership positions should know more than a newborn Christian. And we've got to work slowly and carefully and humbly with such. And realize that in the end, particularly in the world, you're not going to get respect for standing for the truth. But use those obstacles to clarify the direction that God wants you to go in. And remember, even as Jesus showed us, not everyone will follow. Well, those are some of the things which the Bible teaches about being a leader. And we kind of can sum it up in Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, to be ready for every good work. And I think that as a result of our training program, that a number of individuals in the congregation were encouraged and have already started taking part in doing things that they hadn't done in the past. And I know from my own personal standpoint, I've been able to improve in some of those things that I had been doing. But I hope that as a result of training, that we can do those things better. The lesson this evening is really for those of us as we try to grow and develop ourselves within the Lord's church here in Tyngsborough or wherever we might be, so that we can please God in the work and the worship and the service that we do here. Will we always do it in perfection? No. But we can strive to do it as best we can to please God, because after all, that's the reason we're here, is to praise and to worship and to honor God. Would you pray with me? Father, humbly we remind ourselves that it is your kingdom, it is your worship, it is the love that you showed for us that brings us together, desiring to return to you in our public assemblies the very best that we can. You gave us the best, and you deserve our best. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Mike has selected number 263 as our invitation song. There might be someone in the audience this evening that is a wayward Christian, someone that needs the prayers of the congregation, or maybe there's someone here this evening that has never understood the significance of being one of his children, and that they would like to talk with one of us about the gospel, or maybe they're ready to commit themselves now to our Lord and Savior. If that's your case, then would you come now as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.